I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So there's a 20th century theologian who supposedly said, and it's one of those great quotes like St. Francis. Did St. Francis really say half the stuff that we attribute to him? So anyway, but you would think that in the 20th century we would know, but Barth, who is this famous theologian, said that you should write your sermon every week with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. You might, I've talked about this before, this is not unheard of. But as I was thinking about it, the fact of the matter is we actually all need to do that as Christians. We all should do our prayers with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, because it points to where we have work to do as Christians. If you look at this last week in the news, it has been troubling, especially here in California with a mass shooting in Monterey Park during Lunar New Year celebrations and a mass shooting in Half Moon Bay 2 days later. And then we had the release of the footage of the police beating of Tyre Nichols. It's been a hard week, and yet it calls to us in our faith, especially on the day of our annual meeting, in which we have luckily been given the Beatitudes. But the news informs where we are supposed to be engaging our faith. Now, for those Beatitudes, I've said through the years again, I've preached on this several times according to my files, but as I've said through the years, the Beatitudes are the start of Jesus' teaching. It's a start of his ministry, and it's part of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's where Jesus lays the foundation for everything that will happen for those who follow him. The Beatitudes are clear. You are to care for the least of these, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus is pretty clear in this opening salvo that following him is not about a life of ease or opulence or gaining things at someone else's expense. And on top of that, Jesus is also clear to those who follow him that you don't follow Jesus in isolation. You follow Jesus when and only when you are in relationship with one another. What was the first thing Jesus did before he started teaching? He called the four disciples, which we heard last week. He brought them together into relationship. And I spoke about this last week. You can go back and listen. It's online. But it is in relationship that we practice our faith. It is in relationship that we can face difficult challenges together. And we do that better when we are in strong, healthy, caring relationship with one another. And so Jesus calls disciples and then starts the message today, to care for the least of these. And here is the key: to care for someone else, you have to be in relationship with them. To care for the least of these, you actually have to see those who are in need, and to really care for them, you need to sit with them. You need to hear one another's stories, or in other words, form right relationship. And Jesus, as he wraps up the Beatitudes, says, "Oh, and by the way, this isn't going to be easy. Following me is not a cakewalk. And yet, meeting challenges together is always easier than meeting a challenge on our own." And as I was thinking about that, about how do we face challenges together as a community, I started thinking about just about any item we have in our life, anything. Look around and point to something. And whatever that invention is, whatever that mechanism is, it is here today because of those who have gone before us. None of our best medicines, our best medical procedures, the way we build our homes, our cars, our clothes, we all have what we have today because someone before us built on the gifts and skills of the people before them, which is exactly the definition of Christian community, is it not? Are we not building on the teachings and the gifts of the skills of the Christians who have come before us? And so when we face challenges, we do so as a community. And trust me, our current era, open up the newspaper, we have our challenges. And yet, we face them together. As we come to our annual meeting today, that exciting reason to gather after the 10 o'clock, I can tell it's why you are packed into the pews. And for those of you who are visiting, this is the one thing that we do every year to elect our new board of officers and look at our budget. But yet, as we look into 2023, the one thing that I know is that we will face our challenges together. How we will redevelop our rental property, we will decide together. What programs we build back from COVID and how, we will decide together. How are we going to survive the deficit we have in our budget this year, we will decide together. And how we can better help those in our community, we will do that together. And perhaps most important of all, the most important thing we can do as Christians is draw deeper into our faith and our relationship with God, and even that we do not do in isolation. We do that with our fellow Christians. All of these challenges we face together as one Christian community here in Hermosa Beach, in the South Bay, in Southern California. So to that end, right now, I'm going to give you some time to think about what is St. Cross's call here in Hermosa Beach. Now, maybe today is your first day here. Maybe you're visiting. Maybe you aren't even so sure that you care about this church, and that is fine and great. You can still answer the questions. So in your pew, don't look at it yet. This is like telling kids, you know, don't turn over the paper. But there is pink paper in your pews, and it has three questions. What opportunities and challenges did the congregation face in 2022? Looking towards the future, what changes do you hope to see in your faith community? And what does your community need in order to bring about these changes? And three, we invite you to tell stories of how you have spent the last year naming, addressing, and dismantling the injustices of racism in yourselves, congregation, in your communities. Now, these are not three questions that Reverend Rachel whipped up on our own just to get you guys fired up about 2023. No, these are the three questions that the Episcopal Church, our national, international head, is asking every single congregation to respond to this year. Every one of us, we have to send in these reports to the national church, and they want to know. And they say, ask your staff, ask your board, ask your vestry, ask your congregation. So I'm asking you. I don't want your names on this unless you have something you really want me to know that you said. I don't care about your names. What I care is that you take this time that we're going to have in a minute to sit prayerfully and to hear God's call. And if you are new or visiting, you can fill this out and say, what challenges did our world have in 2022? And what do you hope for your community in 2023? So I'm going to say a prayer. And then I want us to together, collectively, listen for the Holy Spirit. Listen for God and who God is calling St. Cross to be. Now, before we pray, because I know some of you like to have all the directions, I'm going to pray. Shauna's going to play some music. You can write. And when the music has ended, Josh will continue the service with the Nicene Creed. But what do I do with my paper, Reverend Rachel? Fold it in half, put it to the side, and when you leave today, there are baskets at either door, and you just put them in there. So let us pray. Loving God, we pray for your holy Catholic Church, and especially for this community of St. Cross. Fill it with all truth, and in all truth, fill it with all peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, direct it. Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where is it is in want, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen.